I'm going to ask that we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And verse 33, Luke 23:33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Our Father and God, we bless thy wonderful name for this hour. We are very grateful to you that we can embrace the reality of your divine presence. We're thankful that it's with boldness and confidence we can address you as our Father and God. We praise you that this is ours to appreciate in the light of the finished work of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the thoughts that we've had already from thy word, and how we pray that the truth will have the desired impact upon our lives. And as we open thy word even now, Lord, we desire that you'll open the mind of our understanding. We pray that there will be an intense craving on the part of all, not just to be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the same. We ask in the name of Jesus that you will be exalted. We pray that our hearts will burn one more time as we re-examine truths from thyself through the written word. Our God, be glorified now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to blend the two passages read. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 33. The significance of the place mentioned, the place called Calvary. The act in question, the crucifixion of the Son of God, whose name is Jesus. I believe we're at liberty to do the blending, because there is a special connection with the two verses. In Galatians 2:20, the thought is the Son of God. And there we are confronted with the reality of the person of the Christ. And then in that, we're also connecting with the reality of the act. The Son of God who did something. He loved me. He loved you. He loved us. And he manifested this amazing love by he giving his life for you and for me. And saints of God, what I'd like us to do is to simply take the moments at our disposal to contemplate the blessedness, the reality of that place, the place called Calvary. And what has happened to so many across the length and breadth of our world who have gone to that place, the place called Calvary. I believe we can all say with great conviction Nobody, irrespective of the labor, the individual war before they went to the place, nobody has ever gone to the place called Calvary the way God wants somebody to go to Calvary. And on returning, the individual cannot testify with intense conviction of the reality of the transforming power of the living God. And we bless and we praise the name of our Lord as we make this kind of declaration, as we proclaim it. We do so in the light of the kind of confirmation that is given to us by God through the written word. There are many passages that gives us this confirmation. One such passage is that well-known expression in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, where the Spirit of God declares, if any man, and that I'd like to suggest is an indication that it really doesn't matter the kind of label that the individual is wearing. It doesn't matter how deplorable the condition is. Once that individual accepts the invitation from God and by faith travels to the place called Calvary, the very moment one gets there, one experiences an encounter with the true and living God through his matchless grace. And out of this encounter, there has to be an amazing transformation. We rejoice this evening for those who have already gone to the place called Calvary. And as we contemplate the place called Calvary, each heart can say, thank God, because of Calvary, I have never and will never be the same again. It's a good time for every person in this conference to engage oneself in self-examination. And do it in the light of the fact that we are in the presence of an all-knowing God. And because he declares himself to be God, we must also become conscious of the truth, because God is God, nothing is hidden from him. And so, let's pause. Let's look at ourselves. And let's decide, here or now, whether or not we have gone or we have not gone to the place called Calvary. As we go into a number of thoughts that are intimately connected to what has happened and what will happen when the individual travels to the place called Calvary, I'd like to suggest with great conviction that as far as God is concerned and as far as we are concerned, Calvary is what Calvary is because of the Jesus who is connected to Calvary. Calvary would just be another place, but thank God, Calvary takes a turn because of the Jesus of Calvary. What can happen? What will happen? What has happened now that we have gone to Calvary? What can happen? What will happen if you, by faith, takes a trip to the place called Calvary? We who have gone to the place called Calvary can say with confidence, can say with boldness, can say with great persuasion that having gone by the grace of God to the place called Calvary, we can now testify without a shadow of a doubt that we have been dragged out of eternal death and we have been dragged into eternal life. Thank God for the place called Calvary. And thank God for the Jesus of Calvary. Once we have gone to Calvary and we have had an encounter with the true and living God through faith in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, here and now and for all eternity, we'll be chanting with great conviction, thank God for the place called Calvary. Because of Calvary and because of the Jesus of Calvary, I no longer fear the reality of eternal death, to which every Christ rejecter will eventually be exposed, because through Christ, the Christ of Calvary, I can now testify of eternal life. Because of the Jesus of Calvary.